Good morning. Good morning. This is a great morning, y'all. This is a great morning. That ought to be our new saying. Instead of good morning, we ought to just say great morning. Great morning. Great morning. This one of the songs we sang this morning, I snagged it from Hal just now, because as we were singing it, it just spoke to my heart, and I know that Hal chose this to go along with what we're speaking about. What we're talking about is the disciplines of the Christian disciplines. What we ought to be doing as Christians to draw closer to God, because our theme verse is this passage in 2 Timothy that says we need to train ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Okay? Godliness is what God wants for us. And this song we sang, Take My Life, it says, holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. But yet, that's not good enough. Why do I want that? Why do I need that? Because holiness is what you want from me. God says, be holy because I'm holy. Now, how many of y'all are holy this morning? That's a trick question. Okay? That's a trick question, because in and of yourselves, none of us are. But because I have the blood of Jesus, He has made me holy, made me righteous. That's the greatest gift. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me, God. Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. To yours, oh Lord. That's what we're... That song, in a nutshell, puts the attitude that we should have for this whole idea of the disciplines. Disciplines such as reading the Bible. Disciplines, which is what we're going to talk about today. Disciplines such as studying the Bible. Do you know there's a difference? Yeah, there is. Today we're going to talk about reading. Next week we're going to talk about studying, and there's a big difference. Prayer. Giving. Tithing. That's a discipline. And there are several other, many other disciplines we're going to go through over the next several weeks. And I hope you'll be in you know, on the train and on this trip, because it's not... I mean, it does good for us, but the purpose for all of this is to be more like Christ, right? To be more like Christ, for the purpose of holiness. And he goes on to say, for physical training is of some value, but spiritual training has value both here and forever after. And we talked about this real quickly, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, folks, your eternity has already begun. It's already begun. So let's get busy about training up and getting ready, all right? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is going to be the passage today, the verse. I've got several other verses I want to share with you, but this passage is the one that we're going to read together. Romans 10 and verse 17. Paul writes, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Amen? If you're a King James person, you know, I talked about that I preach out of the NIV because most people have the New International Version. I study out of the New American Standard Bible because it is arguably one of the most accurate word-for-word translations out of the original languages. But most of my scripture memory is done in the King James. Right? Consequently, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. By the Word of God. You may have faith, and I pray you do. But listen, if that faith is based on anything other than the Word of God, then that faith is empty. It's nothing more than an empty hope. If you put your faith in your 401k, and I hope your 401k is doing well, But if you put your faith in that, it's going to be empty. If you put your faith in your kids, I mean, I hope you have faith in your kids. I hope you've trained them up to where that they're faithful and worthy of being, having put in your faith, some faith in them. But if you put your faith in your kids, they're going to let you down. If you're a parent and you haven't experienced that yet, you will. And kids, let me tell you something else. If you put all your faith in your parents, guess what? They're going to let you down too. We're going to let each other down. That's what we do. That's why we need Jesus. No spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's Word. None. Nothing can substitute for it. And when I say Bible intake, I'm talking about just what it means. Taking in the Bible. Taking in the Word of God. And there's basically two ways we can do that. One is we can read it, and the other is we can hear it. And we're going to talk about both of those today. But nothing can substitute for it. There's simply no healthy Christian life apart from a diet of milk and the meat of Scripture. The reasons are obvious. In the Bible, God tells us about Himself, and especially about Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It tells us that. It reveals that to us. It unfolds the law of God to show us how we've all broken it. Romans tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We learn about how Christ gave His life as a pure and sinless sacrifice for the breakers of God's laws. One of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." It tells us how we must repent and believe in Jesus in order to be right with God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. There is no other way. In the Bible, we learn the will and the way of the Lord. We find how to live in a way that is pleasing to God, as well as best and most fulfilling for ourselves. None of this eternally essential information can be found anywhere else. You're not going to find it in the great philosophers. You're not going to find it in the bowels of the mathematic textbooks. You're not going to find it in the great novel. You're not going to find it anywhere except the Word of God. Therefore, if we want to know God, and if we want to be godly, if we want to train ourselves for the purpose of godliness, we must know the Word of God. And I don't mean know of it. I mean know it. You know, there's a difference. And let me just put it plain and simple to you. How many of you know of Michael Jordan? Anybody ever heard of him? You know of him. How many of you have ever met him personally, shook his hand? Anybody? Anybody in here? That's the difference. You know of him, but you don't know him. Many people know of Jesus, but they don't know him. They know of him and think, "Well, I'm saved. I know who Jesus is." I'll tell you, the Bible says something about that. The Bible says that even the demons know and believe, and they shudder. There's a difference between knowing of and knowing intimately. Most would agree to all that I just said. However, many simply don't make Bible intake a part of their regular life. It's been said, listen, that the worst dust storm in history would happen if all church members who were neglecting their Bibles dusted off their Bibles at the same time. The dust bowl of the, when was it, the 40s, whatever, 30s? I wasn't around yet. I would have nothing and this is, you know, just a speculation, but it's, think about it. Think about how many people have Bibles that never get cracked open. I once was preaching a sermon one time, not here, and I said, the best thing, the most efficient thing we could do for you guys would be to build a bookshelf in the back, and you could all set your Bibles on there when you walk out, and you could pick them up when you walk back into the church, because frankly, most of you, that's the only time we ever pick them up. We just save you the work. We just leave it right here because it doesn't get used throughout the week anyway. And that's the trouble with us. We do that. We have a really nice pretty one and we dress it up as part of our accessory. We're accessorizing with our Bible at church. And Bible has become nothing more than an accessory. This needs to become our lifeblood, our lifeline. It needs to become an essential, not just an accessory. I would call it as necessary as underwear, but that probably would offend some people if I said that from the pulpit, so I won't say that. How do we do it? How do we do this? How do we make the Word of God essential to our lives? It takes a commitment, y'all. I'm telling you. It takes a commitment. We have to decide, yes, I am going to make Bible intake, the reading of Scripture, the hearing of Scripture, I'm going to make that a priority in my life, and I'm not going to go a day without it. We have to make that commitment. We have to go all in. I'm going to read you a poem that I ran across this week. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. And these words were found in the possession of a missionary who was martyred in, I believe it was in Africa. And he had these words, and they began to read it. It said, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. For my past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, cheap talking, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need prominence, prosperity, positions, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. For now I love by faith. I lean on His presence. Walk by patience, uplifted by prayer, I labor with power. My faith is set, my gate is fast, and my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, and my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversary, negotiate with the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, let up, shut up until I stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up, all for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until He comes, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He stops me. Then, when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me, for my banner will be clear. That was found in the possession of somebody who had given everything, given their very life for the sake of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Does God require any less from us? Does God require any less from us? Does He require, well, some are supposed to go and give all, others of us just get to give some. Let me tell you what I've learned this week in my studies. Is that when Christ issued the call to abandon, when He said, if anybody must come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, take up his cross daily and follow me. He wasn't talking about necessarily you have to give up all this stuff. And Jesus talks about that, you know, says you gotta go so far as to hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. Hate all this stuff. that you got to love me that much that that looks like hate. You got to give up all this. Told one guy, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. It's not, what I believe, Jesus was not necessarily telling people that it's about the stuff. What he was saying is, it's about the heart. If you're willing to go this far, that's what I'm wanting. That's what I'm asking from you. I'm wanting your heart. So you can give all you've got and still keep a job. You can still keep a house. You can still keep a vehicle. You can still have a 401k retirement plan. But what God wants is you to abandon self and give yourself all to Him for the purpose of godliness. The purpose of godliness. Hearing God's word. Talked about hearing God's word and reading God's word. First, I want to talk to you about hearing God's word. It's the easiest way to take in the word of God, just by simply hearing it. You may think it funny to count that as a discipline, but the truth is that if we don't discipline ourselves to hear God's word regularly, then we may only hear it accidentally, or when we feel like it, or maybe even not at all. For most of us, disciplining ourselves to hear the word of God simply means attending a church where the word of God is preached, where the word of God is read. Okay? We're doing that this morning. We're hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, our verse, says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, Paul is telling Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Hearing God's word is not just passive listening. It's a discipline to be developed. There's a difference between... Guys, let me talk to you real quick. Has your wife ever looked at you and said, you're not listening? And you said, I've heard everything. And she says, yes, but you're not listening. Because in her mind, there's a difference between you recognizing the words that are coming in and then paying attention to those words, right? Okay, when I say hearing the word of God, I'm talking about that attentive listening where you take in the word. It doesn't just pass through in one ear and out the other. I'm talking about where you take it in, you cogitate on it, you think about it, you let it meditate and mellow and marinate in your mind. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, because that is what really... where Bible study comes in, where we do that, and we meditate on that. But it's a discipline to be developed. That's hearing God's word. Now, reading God's word, actually taking up the Bible and reading it, that's a novel idea, you might say. Yeah, it's a great idea. Listen, let me tell you, give you some statistics real quick. USA Today reported a poll that showed only 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. 11%. More than half read it less than once a month, or not at all. 50% of Americans only read Scripture once a month, or not at all. Another poll that's even more specific, only taken among those that claim to be born-again Christians, showed that only 18% of born-again Christians read the Bible every day. Worst of all, 23%, almost one out of every four of every professing Christians say they never read the Word of God. 75% of professing Christians say they never read the Word of God. They go to church and they expect somebody else to give it to them. They may go to a Sunday school class. They may even go to a Bible study during the week, or they come to the worship service where the preacher reads the word, preaches on the word. And for many of them, that's the only time they get Scripture at all. And even then, they may not even be reading it. They may just be hearing it. 3/4 of professing Christians say they never read the Word of God. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is the one who reads the word of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. You see, God promises blessings for those who read and heed his word. But only those who discipline themselves to do so will be blessed. A daily dose of scripture is important. Dwight L. Moody, he once said, "A man can do no more to take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months. Or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it." Every day. Every day. I want to give you just some quick practical suggestions for consistent success in reading the Bible. And y'all, if you weren't here last week, let me just go back a little bit, because there may be somebody here that this is not a typical sermon series for me. Because what this is really is more of as a line of teaching. It's talking and discussing about the disciplines which we must follow to become more like Christ. So this is not a real evangelistic sermon, like maybe you've grown accustomed to hearing from me, but this is more of a teaching time. So I'm going to give some very practical things to us throughout this series. Some practical suggestions for consistent success in reading the Bible. First, we must find the time. Find the time. It takes the average reader about 71 hours to read the Bible. 71 hours. They know that because if you buy the Bible on audio, get on CD or download, something like that, the runtime is probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 hours, 71 hours. Constant, nonstop. Now, I would challenge you, it would be a really big challenge for any of us to sit up for 71 hours, read nonstop, to read the Bible through. I get that, and I know that. That's not what I'm talking about. But 71 hours spread over a period of time, the average American watches more than 71 hours of TV in 2 weeks. I know from experience. I'm sure my wife was saying something similar to that. In no more than 15 minutes a day, you could read through the Bible in less than a year. In only 5 minutes, you could take 5 minutes a day would take you through the Bible in less than 3 years. The second thing I would suggest to you is that you find a Bible reading plan. There are lots of plans out there. There are specific Bibles, the one-year Bible. You can get it in the one-year Bible where it takes you through a passage of the Old Testament, a passage from the New Testament, a passage from a psalm, and part of the Proverbs every day. Or you can do, there's one out, it's called the Chronological Bible in 1 year, something like that, the 1 year Chronological Bible. And what it does is it takes you through the Bible, not necessarily in the order that we have it written here, but chronologically, so you'll have a passage, you know, that they may interject different passages from different parts of the Bible that flow chronologically, time-ordered fashion. That's the one that I most recently read through. Very interesting. It's a good one. I'd recommend that. There are all sorts of plans on the internet that'll take you through, again, a variety of passages each day. A lot of people have started upon a Bible plan. Well, I'm just going to start the first, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. Problem is, a lot of times when you get to about Lamentations or Leviticus, you start to go, "Oh, what is it?" So sometimes a little variety is good. That's why some of these plans take some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, and they mix it up and kind of make it a little more palatable. You need to find one that works for you. All of us are different, but find one that works for you and stick with it. There are lots of plans. And if you have a smartphone, you've got the Bible access to you. It's there. It's free. There are many apps you can get on the download, and you have the scripture there. And most of those will have a daily Bible reading plan. It'll take you through the Bible. Just follow that stuff. It's not rocket science, but it'll change your life. I'll win this thing over. But the plan is, I mean, the goal is to find a plan that works for you and stick with it. Stick with it. If you have a computer, you've got even more options. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There is no excuse for someone not having access to the Word of God. And I will tell you, just like I offer any time, if there's anyone here that does not have a physical copy of God's Word, I will give you one right after church. Matter of fact, does anybody want one right now? And I'll send somebody to get you one. Does anybody need one right now? I've got them. Okay, nobody? If you ever need one or see somebody that needs one, I've got some that I keep just for that purpose. Just to give out, because people need to have the Word of God. The third suggestion I have for you is, when you read, is to find one word, one phrase, or one verse in that passage you read, and meditate on it throughout the day. Think about it. Let that roll around in your mind. If you're like me, it'll make a lot of noise just rattling around in that empty space. Some of you have to kind of cram it in there, because I know some of y'all are really, really smart people, and you don't have a lot of room left in there. But find it, stick it in there, poke it in, put a piece of cotton in there so it'll stay in there, whatever. But let that be in your mind and on your mind throughout the day. Meditate on it. It helps you helps your reading become more internalized and have a purpose. And what is the purpose? For the purpose of godliness. The purpose of godliness. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. Will you commit yourself? As we begin to look at these disciplines, will you commit yourself? Will you commit to train yourself for the purpose of godliness? I will tell you, you cannot do it without reading the Bible. You cannot do it without reading the Bible. This is the most foundational, most fundamental discipline that we can do as a believer in Jesus Christ, and that is get to know Him through His Word. You know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time asking and seeking a fresh word from God, a fresh word, a fresh revelation. I would submit to you that before you focus on getting a fresh word, you need to get acquainted with what's already said. What's already been said, what's already been told, what's already been recorded for you. A lot of times we want something that's fresh and update. Let me tell you something, folks. This never goes out of date. Never out of style. It will endure forever. I'm going to read to you a quick passage from a book that I'm reading. It's called Radical by David Platt. I know one of the Sunday school classes is doing a Bible study on this. I read this book a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago. And then lo and behold, if it's not one of my textbooks for for this class I'm taking right now. But in this book, David Platt writes, and he says this. He's talking about how God has called us not to just be regular folks. He's called us to make a radical change. He says, just imagine going to a worship gathering in one of those house churches. Talking about, he's over in Asia right now. And it's not he'll describe it here in a second. Not an all-day training in the Word, just a normal three-hour worship service late in the evening. The Asian believer who is taking you gives you these instructions. Put on dark pants and a jacket with a hood on it. We will put you in the back of our car and drive you into the village. Please keep your hood on and your face down. When you arrive in the village under the cover of night, another Asian believer meets you at the door of the car. Follow me, he says. With your hood over your head, you crawl out of the car. Keeping your face toward the ground, you begin to walk with your eyes fixed on the feet of the man in front of you as he leads you down a long and winding path with a small flashlight. You hear more and more footsteps as you progress down the trail. Then you finally round the corner and walk into a small room. Despite its size, 60 believers have crammed into it. They're from all ages. From precious little girls to 70-year-old men, They're sitting either on the floor or on small stools, lined shoulder to shoulder, huddled together with their Bibles in their laps. The roof is low, and one light bulb dangles from the middle of the ceiling as the sole source of illumination. No sound system, no band, no guitar, no entertainment, no cushioned chairs, no heating, no air-conditioned building, nothing but the people of God and the Word of God. And strangely, that's enough. God's Word is enough for millions of believers who gather in house churches just like this one. His Word is enough for millions of other believers who huddle in African jungles, South American rainforest, and Middle Eastern cities. But is His Word enough for us? Is His Word enough for us? You know, we've got it good. We've got all kinds of blessings. We've got all kinds of comforts. Is God's Word enough for us? That's a tough question. Is His Word enough for us? If I had nothing else but this book, would it be enough for us? How will we know if we never read it? How will we know if this is good enough for us and nothing else? How are we going to even know that if we don't read it? We've got to read the Word of God. Got to read it. Got to read it. Got to get it in there. The Bible says that part of one of the reasons why we put the Scripture in our heart and in our mind is to keep us from sin. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. And what does that lead to? Godliness. Train ourselves, discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning. Just keep your seats, but I want you to just kind of bow your eyes, bow your heads for a second. Everybody, no looking around. I want to ask you some quick questions. Will you commit to read the Word of God? Will you commit to read the Word of God? This has not been the most evangelistic sermon I've ever preached. I know that. But Scripture tells me that God's Word will not return void. It will not return empty, but it will accomplish that which He sends it out to do. So quite possibly, there's someone here who's never committed their life to Christ and never received the gift of salvation. Jesus said these words. He said, "For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man, I will also be ashamed of him when he comes into the glory, and that of the Father and His holy angels." He says, if you're ashamed of Me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. If you're ashamed of My Word, I won't be ashamed of you when you come and stand before Me. I want to tell you, if you have never proclaimed Jesus Christ as your Lord and you want to do that today, I'm going to ask you. If you've never profess Jesus Christ as your Lord, or if you've never been sincere about that, and you want to do that today, nobody's looking around, just lift up your hand. If you want to do that today, just lift up your hand. Receive the most precious gift ever known. Maybe there are those here in this church, in this place, maybe He's calling you to do something else. Maybe He's calling you to serve. Maybe He's calling you to step up and lead out. Maybe He's calling you to be a servant. Maybe there are some of you that are not members of this church. Maybe God is showing you, you know what? This is where I want you to place your membership. This is where I want you to become involved in a living, active local body of believers. Maybe like Hal was telling us this morning. He's so excited because he thinks there's something great and awesome coming, and I believe that, y'all. I've been believing that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know what, I want to be part of that. I want to jump on that train. I want to go where this place is going. If that's you this morning, here in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I would just invite you to come down to the front. Speak with me. We'll take your information. We'll present you to the church. You can be officially a part of Dolan Baptist Church. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, whatever God has placed on your heart, maybe it's just a conviction of simply this. I've not been disciplined in my intake of God's Word. And I want to commit this morning, Brother Mike, not to you, not to anybody else, but I want to commit to my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, that I'm going to be disciplined to read His Word. Maybe that's you this morning. And maybe you want to make that commitment. You want to be held accountable, and you want other people to know that you're committing to do that. And I would invite you to do that. That's a great thing. In just a moment, I'll be standing in the front. Rebecca will be standing up here also. I love this setup. Thank you, Fran, for taking this time and allowing Rebecca to be up here, because there may be somebody that wants to come and pray with someone and doesn't want to come speak to some ugly old man up front, and that's fine. The altar's open. You don't have to pray. You don't have to speak with anybody. Rebecca will be up here, though, if you want to speak with her. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand at this time. If you've ever played a sport, or if you've ever been confronted in any type of fashion, maybe you've heard this phrase: talk is cheap. Y'all believe that? It's easy to say anything we want to say. The hard part is following through. Jesus Christ has said, I don't even want to hear what you have to say. Show me by what you do. If you want to follow me, here's what you must do. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Are you a follower today? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be? You can be. He's calling you. What are you going to do with that call? Are you going to respond to it? Or are you going to ignore it? It may be a call to salvation. It may be a call to service. It may be a call to teach. It may be a call to work with the guys at the sound booth, maybe a call to help line chairs up, whatever it is. If God is putting something on your mind, don't just ignore that. He's putting it on your mind for a reason. He has a goal and a purpose behind that. Maybe God is calling you for salvation. Maybe He's calling you to commit. Maybe He's calling you for something else. But He's calling every one of us to commit to something. What is your response? What is your response? How lead us as we sing. I'll be standing here in front. Come as the Spirit leads.